I'm reading from Luke 17, verse 11 to 17. So, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mecca. That's great. When I'm preaching, I've been currently preaching through the Gospel of Luke under a title. The overall title is Jesus is for Everyone. And that is the truth. Jesus is for everyone. No one is excluded. Jesus is for everyone. And last time, we've got to Luke 17, and last time we were looking at be a servant for Jesus in verses 1 to 10. Today, the subject title is be desperate for Jesus, be thankful to Jesus, from Luke 17, 11 to 17, the verses that Macca just read to us, this great miracle story of the healing of the 10 lepers, which lots of us would have heard of or read in the past. And I just want to just share for a while about this story and just look at what the Bible actually says here. The healing miracle starts with 10 desperate men. 10 desperate men. It tells us that Jesus is in the dangerous border country between Samaria and Judah. It's not a safe place for a Jewish rabbi to be. And Jesus and his disciples are just entering a village when 10 desperate men create a roadblock. They prevent Jesus from entering the village. Now, it doesn't say in the Bible that they were carrying Kalashnikov rifles, but what we do know is that they were shouting at Jesus from a distance. And it may have taken a while. It looked quite a provocative, quite a dangerous situation. It's a confrontational situation. But it turns out that they are all lepers, 10 lepers, which means that not necessarily that they had leprosy, although some of them probably did. They may all have been had leprosy, but it means that they had a contagious skin diseases. And because they had contagious skin diseases, they were outcasts in society. They were not actually allowed to enter the village. They couldn't come close to Jesus and his ministry team. They were unclean. They were not allowed human contact for the fear of spreading leprosy and skin diseases. They were separated from their families. They were prevented from worshipping God at the synagogue or the temple because of their skin diseases. Once Jesus had entered the village, their chance would have been gone because they couldn't go into the village. And they're not trying to threaten Jesus or his disciples, but they are desperate for Jesus to help them. And they shout, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us! Have mercy on us!" And so they're shouting this from a distance, and it might have taken a while for Jesus to actually hear what they were shouting. So again, it appeared to be an intimidating situation. And I think it raises the question, when we look at these 10 desperate men, the question is how desperate are you for Jesus to help you? How desperate are you for Jesus to help you? Maybe you feel an outcast. Maybe you feel a bit of a misfit. Maybe you feel judged by others. Have you been rejected by other people? Maybe you feel that you've been rejected a bit by society or by other Christians. Are you struggling maybe with sickness, physical illness? Are you struggling with addiction? Are you struggling maybe with mental illness or depression? Jesus is the only one who can heal you. Jesus is the only one who can heal you. He is the only one who has the power to break your addictions, to transform your life, or to cleanse you from your sins, the things that we say and think and do that are wrong. Jesus is the only one with the power to accept, to restore, and to reintegrate the outcast, the broken, the sinner, the reject. And you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has the same power to heal today that he had when he healed these 10 lepers. Now, sometimes we can think that Jesus' batteries have somehow run down, you know, and we're waiting for him to return for the supercharge. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lots of people believe he was wonderful in the past, and they'll believe it will be wonderful when we're in heaven. We forget that Jesus is the same today. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that healed these 10 lepers, is the same power today that Jesus has. And many of us have experienced that power in our lives. Praise God. But the question is how desperate are we for Jesus to do something in our lives today? And I encourage you to be desperate for Jesus today. At the end of our service, there'll be opportunity for you to come forward and receive prayer for healing, or deliverance, or cleansing, or salvation, if you want to put your trust in Jesus. Maybe breaking the power of addiction in your life. And I'd encourage you, be desperate for Jesus today. Don't miss this opportunity. Come forward for prayer and ministry. Allow just that, be open to Jesus and his power at work in your life today. Don't miss this opportunity for Jesus to do a great work in your life. Because he is the one who transforms lives. He is the one who changes lives. So these 10 desperate men, they believed and took a step of faith. So secondly, they believed and they took a step of faith. Now, I think if you had been one of the 10 lepers, you might have been very disappointed with Jesus. Do you know you can be disappointed? Because God doesn't always do what we expect him to do and what we think he ought to do. And this is the case here. I think if we'd been one of these 10 lepers, we might have been very disappointed with Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't come near them. He didn't touch them. He didn't even pray for them to be healed. So they came desperate for Jesus to do something, and Jesus basically did nothing. He didn't even shout from a distance, "Be healed in Jesus' name." He didn't shout back at them. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't do any of those things. He doesn't speak over them in tongues, blah, 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 you know, and see whether that will work. He doesn't work himself into a frenzy to bring the spirit of healing come down upon these 10 lepers. He doesn't do any of those things. He doesn't jump up and down. He doesn't get excited. He doesn't run around in circles. He doesn't do any of those things. He doesn't do any of those things at all. Jesus did absolutely nothing. Because Jesus didn't need to do anything. Because Jesus has the power to heal people from a distance. That's incredible. And we see that in several stories in the New Testament, including the centurion's servant and the healing of the Canaanite woman's daughter in Matthew 15. Jesus just said the word and people were healed at that very time when he wasn't even there. You see, Jesus has power to transform. He has power to heal. Do you know, a lot of people don't realize this, a lot of Christians don't realize that Jesus, it's not recorded ever that Jesus prayed for the sick. He never prayed for the sick. He never prayed for healing. Because Jesus had authority to heal and he commanded healing. He has the power to heal. He has the power to heal. And sickness and death fled away. I can heal absolutely no one. You can heal absolutely no one. That's why the Bible commands us to pray for the sick. To pray in the name of Jesus. You can go around praying for people in the name of John Watts, your pastor, as much as you like. Nothing will happen whatsoever. They'll just get worse and they'll probably die. And they'll get totally fed up if you go around like that. We pray in the name of Jesus because Jesus' name is the name that has authority. It's Jesus' name that has the power. Praise God. And so we pray in the name of Jesus Christ who has the power and authority to heal. What does Jesus say to these 10 desperate lepers? He gives them one simple instruction. Go show yourselves to the priest. Why on earth does Jesus give them that instruction? Because Jesus normally, if you read the Gospels, he normally spoke against the religious priests and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But here, he tells these 10 lepers to go and basically present themselves to the local priest. And here, Jesus is following the Old Testament law that instructed those who believed that they had been healed from leprosy or contagious skin diseases to go and show themselves to the priests who would examine their skin to confirm whether they were healed or not. And so in this simple instruction, Jesus was challenging these 10 diseased, desperate outcasts to believe in him and begin a journey of faith. It was a big challenge to them. A big challenge. Verse 14 makes it very clear that it was only when they believed in Jesus, it was only when they began to put their belief into action, it was only as they started on their journey to the priest, it was only as they were on their way that they were actually healed. Before they began to obey Jesus' instructions, there was no evidence of their healing. They would have been looking at their hands and feet. Jesus had just told them to go and show themselves to the priest, but they look at their hands and their feet and they've still got this contagious skin disease. There was absolutely no evidence that they were healed. There was no evidence that they were going to be healed. They were in exactly the same situation as they were when they cried out in desperation. Absolutely no evidence of anything happening at all. They could have mocked Jesus, couldn't they? They could have said, I'm not going unless I see I'm already healed. They could have dismissed Jesus' instructions. But there was something about Jesus that made them follow his instructions. They were desperate men. Jesus was their only hope. And they probably thought, well, there's no evidence, but we may as well give it a go. You know, look a bit silly afterwards if it doesn't work out and we get to the priest and we've still got leprosy and he shoos us away. But he said, let's give it a go. We've got nothing to lose. But you know, as they took those steps of faith and belief in Jesus, they looked at their hands and feet and they suddenly realized a miracle was taking place. As they walked in obedience to Jesus, their skin began to be healed. New skin began to replace the diseased skin. And by the time they arrived at the priests, they were completely healed. But you know, it required them, first of all, to believe in Jesus. and to take those steps of faith, even though there was no evidence of their healing. You know, sometimes Jesus asks us to do the same, to believe in him, even though we can't see the answer, even though the situation looks hopeless. But as we believe in him and we take those steps towards him, then he meets us at our point of need. He brings his power and the healing takes place, or the deliverance takes place, or the breaking of the power of addiction takes place, or whatever it may happen to be that you're facing at this present time begins to take place as you believe and you take those steps of faith in Jesus Christ. It's very similar, this story, to the healing of Naaman in the Old Testament, who had to follow instructions to go and wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River before he was healed. And he was pretty naffed off, wasn't he? So why should I, you know, the better rivers back where I come from. Why should I have to go and wash in the dirty river of Israel? But in the end, his servants reasoned with him. He went and washed 7 times. And he came out completely cleansed. Man, you see, he had to put his faith in what God has said, and he received his healing at that point. So why did those 10 lepers take those steps of belief and faith in obedience to the command of Jesus? They were desperate men. They had nothing left. They had lost everything. Everyone else had rejected them. They had no one else to turn to. And you know, having nothing left, having no one else to turn to, being desperate is the best place that you can start a journey towards Jesus Christ. It's the best place. When you have no other option, when you've exhausted all other options, and when you turn to Jesus, the best place is to come to him at that point of need. And Jesus calls you this morning to believe in him, to take those steps towards him, to follow Jesus' instructions. Are you feeling this morning broken, devastated, desperate, at the end of yourself? Call out to Jesus. Even if you feel far from him, ask Jesus to come into your life. And Jesus is the only one who can save you and rescue you, heal you, and give you a new life. And then finally, I want to speak about being thankful to Jesus. The tragedy of this story is that 9 lepers received their physical healing. They had believed Jesus for healing, but they missed out on all the fullness Jesus had come to bring them. They missed out on spiritual healing. They missed out on eternal life. You know, I'm sure those 9 lepers, they were thrilled with their healing, weren't they? They would have been absolutely thrilled, amazed. I'm sure there would have been family parties to celebrate their healing. Wonderful family reunions. Imagine for a number of years you have been not able to meet with your family, not able to have family get-togethers, excluded, out of the village, out of society, not able to meet and worship God with everyone else, not able to eat with other people and all of those things. And imagine the wonderful family reunion as husbands and fathers and sons and brothers who have been banished from the family and banished from society were reunited. It would have been party time, folks. You know, this is wonderful, this is great. There would be music, there would be dancing, there would be celebration. And there's lots of that in the Bible. And that would have been going on in this village with these lepers, these 9 lepers who had been healed. But they didn't think to return to thank Jesus. They didn't think to go back to Jesus and thank him. He was the reason for the celebration. But he was left out of their parties and their lives. You know, many people say, if Jesus answered my prayer, if I saw a miracle happening, I would believe in him and I would follow him with all my life. You know, if we saw a miracle happening in front of our faces, then we would believe in him. You know, I would never forget him. I would thank him. I would worship him. I would serve him. But I want to say to you, we deceive ourselves. Because God can do miracles and we just pass it by. About 2 years before I became a Christian, I was rock climbing with my friends in the Ogwen Valley in Wales. And they were expert climbers, and I was a novice. And they were belaying me up this sheer rock face. I was probably about 150 meters up this rock face. I didn't like to look down too often because the cars on the road looked like matchbox toys, you know, the toy cars down below. But they were basically hauling me up this rock because I didn't really know what I was doing, and they were really good and I was pretty useless at it. But, you know, I was making a good attempt and I was really enjoying it and everything else. But I ran out of footholds. And I did something which no rock climber should ever do. There was a crack, a crevice in the rock, and I put my knee in the crevice to lever myself up. Stupid, stupid, stupid thing to do. Because my weight went onto my knee went down the crevice, which was shaped like that, and my knee became completely and utterly jammed. And I was there, dangling on the end of a rope, with my knee stuck in the rock face, not able to go up, not able to go down. My friends couldn't help me. I couldn't see any way that I could get out of this. My whole weight was on this blooming knee that was stuck in the rock. And I remember it was a Sunday. And I was brought up, you know, you should go to church on Sundays. So I felt very convicted that this wasn't very good. And I was rebelling away from God and wasn't interested in Jesus or God at all at that time in my life. And I was there, and I was there for quite some time, and the situation got so desperate that I decided I'd pray. And I remember I prayed and I said, God, if you're there, if you get me out of this mess, then I'll follow you. And I'll go back to chapel. You know, I'll go back to church and I'll do these things and I'll follow Jesus and everything else, you know. So, and, you know, God answered that prayer. I haven't got a clue how I got out, but my knee became freed. Praise God. And I climbed up and got to the top of that rock face. And I went down the pub that evening with my friends, got drunk as I usually did, and didn't even think about it, actually. Didn't think about Jesus, didn't think about God, wasn't really thankful for it. It was a great story to tell and everything else. And I only remembered it, actually, after I became a Christian later on, and I thought, wow, God answered that prayer, and I never returned to thank him. I think God heard that prayer and he said, one day you will come back. I'll get you soon. But it wasn't right time. You know, God can do amazing miracles. God can heal someone in front of you. Explain it away. Forget about it. Or whatever. You know, being thankful to God for what he has done for us involves our whole lives. It involves giving our whole lives to God. It involves making him Lord of our whole lives. It is giving God our praise, our worship, and thanksgiving. You might have thought, if you're a visitor here today, what are all these people on? You know, this morning with this worship, you know, what's all this singing and moving around and people sticking their hands in the air? They're all bonkers. But, you know, the reason we do that is because Jesus has transformed our lives. And we're thankful for what he has done in our lives. And we want to praise him, we want to worship him, because we realize that without him, we are nothing. Without him, we're lost. Because Jesus has died on the cross to pay the price and the penalty for our sin. And he didn't stay dead. He rose victorious over sin and death and hell. We're on our way to glory if we're a Christian. If we've repented of our sin and believed in Jesus Christ, we're on our way to glory. And therefore we praise and we worship him. We don't sit here like, or stand here like statues, singing old-fashioned hymns. You know, that's what I was brought up with. I thought you had to wear a black suit and a black tie and a black look to go to church. But there's something that's vibrant, it's real, it's alive. Praise God. The interesting thing is, The one leper who returned to thank Jesus received far more than physical healing. And the interesting thing is, again, this leper was a mixed race Samaritan. He was hated by the Jews. He was unclean. He was unworthy of worshiping the one true God. The other nine, who were probably Jews, but this one was a Samaritan. He was a social and religious outcast. And he is the one who returns to thank Jesus. And it tells us he was praising God in a loud voice for his miraculous healing. And he throws himself at Jesus' feet and worshipped him. By Jewish rules, Jesus should have rejected this man's worship and praise. Because he was a mixed race, multi-faith, liberal, polluted Samaritan. Jews would have no dealings with Samaritans, no contact with Samaritans. But as with the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, Jesus not only accepts this Samaritan's praise and worship, he approves and applauds his praise and worship and thanksgiving. And Jesus offers this Samaritan spiritual healing as well as the physical healing that he has already received. And Jesus says to this mixed race, mixed up, foreigner and social outcast, rise. And literally that means be resurrected. Rise to a new life in Jesus Christ. That's the command. Rise. Get off your knees. Rise. Rise and go. Your faith has made you physically and spiritually well. Praise God. Rise, be resurrected to fullness of life through Jesus Christ. Rise and go and tell others about Jesus who healed you from leprosy and from sin. Rise victorious over sin and death and the hell that you deserve. Rise to eternal life in Jesus Christ. And when we believe in Jesus and we follow him and we obey his instructions, he says to each one of you today, rise. Be resurrected to a new life. Live out that new life. Go and tell others. Rise and go and share the good news of Jesus with others. Share what Jesus has done in your life. That's the power of testimony, isn't it? The power of testimony because of what Jesus has done in your life. Go and share that with others. Don't keep it to yourself. Rise in resurrected life. Be alive. Jesus saved, rescued, healed, and delivered this mixed race, mixed up outcast and sinner. And I would say to you, do you think you're too messed up? Do you think you're too mixed up? Do you think that you're too big a sinner for Jesus to accept you? Think again. Jesus is the friend of sinners. He loves and he invites people who have made a right mess of their lives to come to him, and he transforms our lives. The Bible tells us that Jesus came and to seek and to save the lost. Praise God. We're all lost without Jesus Christ in that sense. He came to save the broken, the sinner, the needy, the outcast, the foreigner. You can cry out to Jesus just as those 10 lepers cried out to him outside the border village. You can come to Jesus just as you are today. You don't have to try and make yourself a good person. So many people make that mistake. They think they've got to climb up to God. They've got to make themselves better before God will ever accept them. The wonderful good news of Jesus is Jesus reaches down into the very pit of our lives, in all the mess and the stink of our lives and the worst things that we're guilty of, and he lifts us up. He is the one who saves us and rescues us and sets our feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. That's what he does. You can come to Jesus just as you are today. Just very finally and very quickly. Most of us here are already Christian believers. The question is how thankful are you for what Jesus has done in your life? How often do you praise God in a loud voice? That woke a few of you up who've fallen asleep. It's hot and warm in here. How often do you fall at the feet of Jesus in praise and worship and adoration of what he's done for you? Do you only come to church on a Sunday to praise and worship and thank Jesus? Do you only come to church on a Sunday when there's nothing more important to do? Or when there's no overtime shifts available? So you can't earn any money, so... No, bit grotty weather, or it's a really nice sunny day, may as well go to church. Nothing better to do. Are you so thankful for what Jesus has done for you that you regularly talk to Jesus in prayer? You know, because we can't be really thankful for him if we never talk to him. And prayer is just talking to God. You don't have to say thou's and thee's and put your hands together and shut your eyes, particularly if you're driving the car. It's not a good idea. But we can talk to him in each and every circumstance. Do you read his word, the Bible? Because it's God's word of life. Transforms our lives. Do you worship him in every part of your life? Do you serve him in the ministries of the church? Do you obey him by telling others the good news of Jesus? Jesus asked, were not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Is Jesus asking, where are you today? Maybe you're watching on the live stream. Where are you today? Haven't I done marvelous things for you? I don't see you shouting my praise. I don't see you falling down at my feet in worship. I don't see you rising up in resurrection power and telling the others about the good news of Jesus. Let's be people who are desperate for Jesus and thankful to Jesus. Let's be people who shout and praise Jesus for what he's done in our lives. Let's be people who fall at the feet of Jesus in praise and worship and adoration, so that we rise up in resurrection power to go and live for Jesus every day, 24/7, because our faith in Jesus has made us physically and spiritually well. Praise God. Let's pray together, shall we?